Stuff Is Reddit podcast.
Marcus Smart is so good.
Hello and welcome to the Celtics Reddit podcast. Ben Vallis here. Thank you for joining us. Hope you're doing well. The Boston trade exceptions, pardon me, the Boston Celtics in the last 36 hours have drafted players, traded players, acquired players, really traversed the full spectrum of roster movement. Now, Jason and Mike actually recorded a post-draft pod late last night. And then, of course, right as I'm editing it this morning, the Celtics go and make some trades. So that post-draft segment will be the second half of this podcast. Joining us for this portion of the pod, from up there in beautiful Newcastle, Australia, Jackson, a.k.a. Rickman Lives. Jackson, how's it going?
Very good, very good. Real quick shout out to the boomers who just boomed Germany. Yeah, just going to get that in real quick.
They but boomed them hard.
Go, baby. You can do it. Patty Mills all the way.
And, of course, on the other side of the planet there in the US, very early in the morning there, Jason, a.k.a. Celtics J. Welcome back, sir. How you doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy to be here.
Glad to have you. Thank you for getting up out of bed so early in the morning. Let's get to these trades in chronological order. Earlier today, Woj reported the Celtics have traded Tristan Thompson to the Atlanta Hawks for Chris Dunn and a 2023 second round pick. That's right, Chris Dunn, who many people were disappointed we didn't draft ahead of Jaylen Brown back in 2016, is now on the team along with Jaylen Brown. It's funny how things work out. Also, Tristan Thompson being rerouted to Sacramento in exchange for DeLon Wright. Jackson, we'll start with you. How do you feel about the Celts moving on from Tristan Thompson?
Doesn't really move me at all, to be perfectly honest. I remember maybe 4 good Tristan Thompson games. Like, I'm sure he had more than that, but like just don't really remember that many of them at all. I don't mind it at all. Like, it's obviously done for cap reasons and salary reasons, and there's like a long term plan in mind. But as far as acquiring like guard depth, and Chris Dunn. Even though he played I don't think he played much at all last year. I didn't even know he was on the Hawks still, to be perfectly honest.
4 games.
Yeah, I thought he was on the Bulls still. It was probably like 3 teams ago. But doesesn't really move me. I know there's like more to it, as we'll get to with the other trades and whatnot. But he had a fine year in a pretty average season. So yeah, it doesn't really bother me that much.
Yeah, Jason, any thoughts on the outgoing Tristan Thompson or the incoming Chris Dunn?
So as far as Tristan Thompson, bye bye baby, I'm okay with it. I'm all set. He's one of those guys that like came in. He must have a good like his agent must be like pretty savvy and tapped in, because he came in saying all sorts of the right things to get us fired up about, you know, he's got this championship pedigree. You know, he's gonna be a dog. He's just one of those guys that did not seem to really back up anything that he was saying, and then. He brought some off the court stuff I wasn't always enjoying having to consume. Like, I'm not even here to judge anybody's sort of behavior off the court. That's not my place. But like, we always kept having to hear about it for better or for worse. And that's not necessarily his fault, but I'm still not sad to not have to deal with it anymore. As a fan. Yeah. Right?
I think I agree with you there. I tried, I think a lot of people did, to ignore a lot of the off-court stuff and try and maybe pretend. And, you know, there was a lot of stuff in the press that sort of suggested that it wasn't having an impact in the locker room or on the court or whatever. But, you know, it wasn't a great year for the Celtics. So, you try and pinpoint areas of negativity and remove it. Maybe it's a good thing. I don't know. I try not to be too judgmental of how, like, anyone... conducts themselves in their personal life, but it did seem like he was, I don't want to say a bad influence on some of our younger guys, but his performance on the court was certainly not outweighing his performance off the court. So yeah. Good riddance. Happy
as
to see
soon as
him
you
go.
Have a Kardashian attached to your profile, there's going to be drama somewhere. Yeah. You're right. We just don't need it. We just don't need it. And like, if he was doing what, you know, Giannis would do, I give a shit. You know, it could be Kanye West levels of fucking pain in the ass absurdity. And I'd be like, whatever, deal with it. But no, not the kind of player that he is.
And he would talk about himself like that was his life, right? Like, he would talk about himself like he was part of a big three in Cleveland. And it's like, hold on.
Yeah, it's like how Kwame Brown and Kobe Bryant combined for 82 points or whatever it is against the Raptors. I think a lot of Celtics fans, including myself, would have preferred DeLon Wright. So, you know, I guess he has a broader skill set than Chris Dunn. But Danger Card, Ryan Bernardoni, friend of the show, kind of hasn't been on in a while, on Twitter, had a good point on this. He said, if the Celtics took Wright instead of Dunn, they wouldn't clear budget space, get the TPE, or the second round pick. Is that worth getting done instead of Wright? Kind of depends on how they use that budget space. So, yeah, I mean, this was reported by Brian Robb of MassLive.com. But, yeah, it's likely this is the first of a series of moves. But the Celtics were able to acquire Chris Dunn using Enes Kanter's $5 million trade exception, which was set to expire this weekend. And that also allows them to create a new $9.2 million trade exception in sending out Tristan Thompson. So the trade exceptions at this point, it's like this is part of the family, right? It's like at some point you just need a jersey with like 9.2 on it that says trade exception on the back. Yeah. It's like
if we get 18, if we get 18, do we retire jersey TPE?
That would be
well,
clutch.
We've got Lusky up in the banners. We put trade exception up there as well.
Yeah.
Second non-numeric retirement.
Yeah. I could see this being one of those situations where they end up changing rules just because they're watching the way that this dynamic is getting exploited at this point. We're not even we're now navigating or negotiating around the cap in so many different ways with all these traded player exceptions, and it's just becoming a new currency in the NBA.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It does give us some sort of added flexibility as we sort of navigate the offseason, which we'll get into a little bit more in a few minutes. But just to focus on Chris Dunn for a second, do you anticipate Jason Chris Dunn being moved in the immediate future? Do you think he's going to stick around for a little while? And if so, like, what do you suspect his role on the team will be?
So I was also, I'm big on DeLon Wright, but I also see DeLon Wright as a guy that's looking for damn near starter minutes. I think he's primed for that. So I think Chris Dunn is more sort of equipped to play that backup role. I think he's kind of a mini Smart a poor man Smart in a way. You know, Smart's at this point, and this is a weird thing to say out loud, is a far better shooter than this other player in the NBA. Mm-hmm. But Dunn is an elite defensive player. He can play make. He's a guy that's going to be able to not give up that position when he's on the court, especially on defense, especially in playoff situations. At least that's the idea that we'd be hoping for. Like, that's the best case scenario. Whether he gets moved or not, it's tough to say. Right now, we're kind of getting the first broad strokes from Brad Stevens, especially with regards to navigating the salary cap and putting a roster together for the beginning of the season. But the way that he was able to make moves decisive and quick and negotiate. We were all getting floored yesterday with the way things were coming out. I mean, you know, I forget who it was on the subreddit. I'll look for it in a second, but they were just like, you know, Brad is about violence right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw that comment. It kind of is the embodiment of that, like, I am the captain now gif. Like, he's just stepped in. He's just shooting from the hip. He's just, like, all action all the time. And after, you know, watching Danny Ainge stand pat, you know, time and time again, it's kind of refreshing to see all of these moves. And suddenly, like, our defense is being fortified. We're getting off bad money. We're adding flexibility to, you know, how we can navigate the rest of the offseason. And it's, like, just, I'm like, I'm completely behind Brad Stevens at this point, even though the sample size is still extremely small and really, you know, logically impossible to evaluate how it's going to be long-term based on what we've seen so far. My fandom has gotten the better of me, and I'm 100% behind Brad Stevens. Jackson, is there anything about the acquisition of Chris Dunn that stands out to you? Are you excited by the idea of keeping him around, or are you indifferent and okay with him potentially being moved in a soon-to-be additional trade or deal?
Ultimately indifferent, for sure. But I do remember when Ime Udoka was, starting to, like, get confirmed to be the coach, and we started hearing about him and, like, what he's about and, you know, he's a person. A lot of the vibe was, like, he was really big on defense. Like, the defense is what he was after. So I think Brad going into, you know, the front office role, if they're on the same wavelength of, like, we need defense, then, like, not only just Chris Dunn, but, like, the other trade that we saw today too, I think looks to solidify that. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if it's part of a total defensive makeover, and that's just going to be our calling card again, even if it does mean sacrificing like offense. But to change ever so slightly, is Jabari Parker still on the team?
He is, but his next year is non-guaranteed. Okay, so it's up to Brad Stevens and co as to whether or not he returns.
Fair enough, because I like the idea of Jabari Parker and Chris Dunn as a co-reclamation project as well. Have them in there and have them contribute like off the bench and like in an ultimately successful season in whatever context that is. That would be lovely. But
the ultimate timeline.
Yeah, for sure. But no, I don't feel like this is the final roster at all. So if that involves Chris Dunn moving on, then yeah, it's likely, but you know, I can see why it would be done otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, I tried to, for all the players acquired today, and we will get to Bruno Fernando, who was obviously acquired as part of this trade as well, but, you know, hardly mentionable.
Jason loves that one.
Him only just being mentioned right now. What I've tried to do is assemble a few, like, dot points that you might see on, like, the back of a basketball trading card in this. Like, if you were, you handed a card to a Celtics fan of, like, here's the sort of the crib notes on this player. These are the points that you would hope to see on that card. So very quickly on Chris Dunn, 6'3 point guard, 26 years old. I've heard him described as the Nintendo GameCube graphics version of Marcus Smart. Played only four games, like we said, last year before season-ending ankle surgery. Definitely more known for his defense above anything else. Only averaged 11 minutes per game in his four games last year, so difficult to sort of draw an assessment based on that small sample size. The prior season with the Chicago Bulls, 25 minutes per game, 2 steals per game, did not shoot well from 3, but shot 53% overall from 2-point range on 4.5 attempts per game. Not bad. Probably going to be our third string point guard behind Smart and Pritchard if he does stick around, but may get some extra minutes in the playoffs thanks to his defense. And of course, Keith Smith was the original source. He tweeted out shortly after the trade, something like, "Don't be surprised if Chris Dunn does get moved again shortly in an upcoming trade." And very quickly, Bruno Fernando, the dot points list on this guy, noticeably shorter. 6'9 center from Angola, drafted 34th overall in 2019, is it about to turn 23? Likely an absolute end of the bench guy, if not like a cut and move on guy. Averaged 10 minutes per game in his two seasons, 3 points per game, 3 rebounds, like, you know, not a lot to sort of go by there in terms of stats. Dare I ask, any thoughts on Bruno Fernando? Like, Jason, you seem, you're sort of, your face has become animated as we mentioned his name here. You got any hot takes on Bruno Fernando?
I remember looking at the video and getting excited about him as a prospect when he was in the draft a couple years ago. And especially at a time when it was before we had any of the potential of Rob really breaking through. I'm surprised to hear that his height's listed at 6'9 now, because when he was getting drafted, I remember him being listed, I think, pretty clearly a 7-footer, but maybe he's got good wingspan and length to make up for the fact. But I like that he was a really strong rebounder. It's something that he was really effective in college. A good defender. It looked like he had more of a traditional post game then. Wasn't really a guy that would stretch the floor necessarily. But he just seemed like one of those big men that you could count on, you know, not necessarily to be a dynamo or, you know, an elite starter level player, but a guy that you could count on to come in 10 to 12 minutes a game and just give you solid defense, solid boards. You know, you're not going to miss an opportunity to hold a lead, or you're not going to get buried because he comes off the bench and plays for you. That's what I always thought when I remember looking at him as a young prospect. With that athleticism, that strength, you know, again, you know, he's got a great build, so it'll be interesting. You know, it's too bad that, you know, it's probably too late in his career for him to join that summer league team to get a peek at him, because I don't think he's had a whole lot of opportunities. They've got a lot of big men down there that he was behind, so, you know, I don't know that we've got that many super established. Like, we got Rob, who I think, at least as far as I can tell, is going to be our starting center. Al is the key backup, you know, probably gonna, as long as he's healthy, gonna share the lion share those minutes. But as far as Moses Brown, like, I don't have any reason to feel super great about Moses Brown. I feel way better about Bruno. So let's see how that goes. I'm gonna be excited to see how it plays out.
That's interesting. I mean, I would definitely expect Moses Brown to, you know, have some minutes, where I wouldn't expect Fernando to have any minutes at all. So it's gonna be interesting to see how that turns out. I think that, you know, for me, Fernando, it's like, it's good to have a you know, a 15th man who is like totally cool with being the 15th man. Like, if there's one thing to sort of like, for me, a positive takeaway is like, that guy's probably fine just like never playing. I don't know, Jackson, if you've got any additional, I've already so was like talked about so Fernando way too long.
So he's the new, so he's the new Vincent, he's the new Vincent Poirier, is that what you're saying?
Well, even Poirier got minutes. I feel like Fernando was like break glass in case of total disaster.
Yeah. I gotta hold my hands up.
Breaking my heart, Ben. You're breaking my heart.
Yeah, well, I'm about to break it again, Jason. I gotta hold my hands up. I don't know who the fuck he is. I got no idea. Did he come from the Hawks?
Yeah, he did.
Did when Embiid and Collins had that scuffle in the East Conference Finals, did he come off the bench and try and fight Embiid?
I don't think it was that guy. I think
it wasn't even that guy.
He's not even that notable. But
I thought that was him. For a moment, I thought it was Bruno.
For a moment, I thought it was the other Bruno who's lost on some NBA roster somewhere. Like the Bruno, is it Kabluklo? Like the 2 years away from being 2 years away guy. Unfortunately, not the case.
He's got a very similar name to Bruno Fernandes, who plays for Man United, who's the team that I follow in the Premier League. And he's like, you know, really popular soccer player. So Bruno Fernandes. If he's as good as he can be as good as basketball as Bruno Fernandes is to football, like, we got an MVP. But it's probably not going to happen. Yeah.
Maybe he can be as good as Bruno Sundove. That'd be something. Anyone remember Bruno Sundove?
No, I don't. Can you remind us?
All time NBA Brunos.
That's right. We need to have a show just dedicated to Brunos.
So that trade, very eventful trade, happened earlier today, and it's always nice to see like a Woj bomb that includes your team. It's always a bit of a thrill when you like sort of do the double take of the tweet, like, oh, that's us. Woj is tweeting about us. It's amazing. Yeah. So after that trade, did some note taking, some preparation, headed up to my attic here to record a podcast, and just as I was hitting record, a ShamWow, Sham Sharania, reported via Twitter, the Dallas Mavericks are finalizing trading guard/forward Josh Richardson to the Boston Celtics. Richardson is exercising his $11.6 million player option for the 2021-22 season for the deal. And Richardson was absorbed into the remaining Gordon Hayward exception. And the way that was able to happen is basically that they're going to make the trade happen before Monday, which is like the New Year's Day of the next NBA season. So his salary goes up to 11.6 from that day onwards, but I think prior to then it's like 10.6 or something like that, and therefore affordable via that remaining Hayward trade exception. So clutch, Brad Stevens, clutch with the trade here, makes it happen, and we get another rotation player, potentially another movable salary, certainly an asset, and it softens the blow furthermore of Gordon Hayward walking away for quote-unquote nothing. Jay, where are you at with Josh Richardson? Is this a good move by the Celtics?
I like it. You know, the thing that came out too was Josh Richardson was on that Sixers squad with Ime Udoka, so it's a player that would seem to likely be one of his guys, right? Like, this would seem like a trade that was probably fueled by enthusiasm, I would at least imagine, from Ime Udoka. It'd be hard to imagine Brad pulling this trade off without having gone to Ime and been like, hey, you had this guy. Is this going to be someone that you can include in this lineup and be successful with? You know, it would appear that that's something that he would have signed off on. And if that's the case, then I'm looking forward to it. I know he had an off year. A lot of those Dallas fans are down on him, but I remember all the games where he was torching us. You know, the guy's got clear talent. And so if Udoka's able to tap back into that and bring that player back out that we had seen when he was in Miami, I think that would be an exciting addition, especially to add a really talented player to that bench and really solidify some of that wing depth.
Yeah, I agree 100% with what Jason said. I think it's overall for me, I think it's just an astute salary. It's an astute move with a salary like cap in mind is what I'm trying to say. Sorry. In the fact that, yeah, like you said, they do it now, they save that money, which ultimately rolls into another TPE, which can, you know, et cetera, et cetera. That's a good move. And, you know, it just happened to line up with a guy, like Jason said, that Ime Udoka knows, plays with, looked fantastic in Miami, had a few good games with Philadelphia, you know, probably has something to prove coming off a crappy season with Dallas or whatever. So yeah, it again, it's like done. It could work either way. Whether it's a move on for something else, to move for something else, whatever, fine. If it ends up being a part of this, you know, new look team, then sweet as well. I mean, I think it's a win-win.
And it's a hell of a swing considering, you know, not having the types of cap resources that you would typically need to get a player in that tier. And so I'm wondering too, like, is this just also an expression of Zarin clearly has a place in this front office and likely is not going anywhere, which I would be very okay with.
Oh yeah,
because the way that Brad is right off the bat navigating cap moves like this to work on making this team more competitive, despite, you know, the limitations that we have, it's exciting. Like, what right do we have to be this excited about moves right now with how little money we have to play with?
Yeah, well, I mean, they continue to add flexibility. They, Zarin and Brad Stevens, continue to add flexibility where we had none. And so that's kind of where we're at, where, like, flexibility is the most exciting acquisition, like acquiring additional flexibility for future moves. Some comments here from Reddit users. So user, they call me YDG, wrote, "Dominoes are falling to what? I don't know, but something is happening," referring to, you know, the momentum coming off these two moves. Electric got switched, wrote, "Hopefully he," referring to Josh Richardson, "can revive his career. He couldn't get on the court in the playoffs," I guess with the Mavs there. "This and every other Mavs fan are happy to move on." And then reply to that comment, user Talk wrote, "This comment gives me Jeff Teague PTSD." If Josh Richardson was to stick around, and say hypothetically for the sake of this question, the Celtics do pay the tax and they do re-sign Fournier, what's the role of Josh Richardson there? Is he the member of a deep bench for a high tax paying team, or what kind of role, Jackson, do you envision Josh Richardson playing on this Celtics team?
I don't think the Fournier signing happens, to be perfectly honest, unless Josh Richardson goes. Yeah. Yep. I mean, yeah, I guess the depth wouldn't hurt, particularly if, like, Udoka's high on him and he has something to prove and he can contribute. Like, you know, if he contributes and he's a good player, no one gives a shit. It's fine. But, like, if he doesn't, then it's really, it's sketchy. So I don't see it being either way. You know, either we're keeping Fournier or Fournier's off and he's a part of or another asset.
So it sounds like a lot of these moves are creating that cap flexibility for 2022. So it'll be interesting to hear more whispers about what types of targets they're looking at for, you know, maybe pursuing in that free agency class. You know, I don't necessarily see those two guys on the same bench unit either. I know a lot of people have been talking about Fournier as a starter, but I never saw that from the jump. It just doesn't make sense to me, especially if you're going to move Marcus Smart to the point guard position to start. Why would you then get smaller at the shooting guard position? That doesn't necessarily make sense to me. So I'm also not the biggest Fournier fan, though. Like, if I'm choosing between those two, despite I know Fournier is a more explosive shooter or more consistent shooter and a more maybe a dynamic scorer, I like what I've seen previously with Josh Richardson more than what I've seen at any given point with Evan Fournier, and he's done it on at least slightly more successful teams. Fournier does seem to be balling out right now for France, though, and so he could come back this year and have a dynamite year, whether it's with us or with someone else, and I could end up eating a whole lot of my shoe.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, Josh Richardson, certainly, I feel like against the Celtics for various teams in the past few years has shown out. But just thinking about the Jays and what we need to sort of help them succeed, a shooter, a kick-out option like Evan Fournier as opposed to Josh Richardson, to me, makes more sense. And for that reason, I kind of hope, like, that ownership will overpay Fournier to a certain extent. I mean, there's definitely a limit. Like, anything over like $18 million, I think, is like you just got to kind of walk away from it. But Fournier is a much more, to me, valuable piece around Tatum and Brown than Richardson, especially when you factor in that Tatum and Brown are great defenders in their own right. We've got Marcus Smart, potentially Chris Dunn. You know, Romeo Langford, Neesmith sort of showed out as a competent defender later in that rookie season of his. Like, there's good perimeter defense, and so at a certain point you've got to be like, well, we need a guy who can shoot. And for me, Fournier just seems like the priority there compared to Josh Richardson. But I think it's a divisive issue, and I think a lot of people feel differently about it. Jackson, What are your thoughts?
I completely agree with you, unless Patty Mills is available.
Yeah.
Then you get fucking Patty Mills. Yeah. Yeah. You get rid of everyone else. You got Patty Mills. So that would be my priority, obviously. But yeah, no, I 100% agree with
that. Yeah. And just the fact that we turned an expiring TPE into something, like it was about to expire. Precisely. In this case, you know, Josh Richardson, worst case, he's a decent 3-and-D option. It's a tradable chunk of salary. It's not nothing. And this was about to, this TPE was about to expire and become literally nothing. So it's good that they did something with it. And like that user, they call me YDG said off the top there. It's just another domino falling. There's more to come out of all of this. So it's all in flux. And like, you know, the activity ended for the day. We're now at a point where we can pause and podcast about it, but who knows, by the time this goes live, you know, maybe everything's changed again. Quick profile though on Josh Richardson, in case he does stick around. Again, back of the trading card scenario here. Obviously more memorably played for the Heat and the Sixers. He's a 6'5 guard, only 27 years old. For some reason, thought he was older than that. Career averages of 12 points per game, 3 assists, 1 steal, 43% from the field, 36% from 3, but that's declined every year since he's been in the league. Definitely a rotation player. So like I said, it's not nothing. Whether he fits on a team with Marcus Smart, Fournier, Lankford, Neesmith remains to be seen, but the general consensus is that he doesn't. So like Chris Dunn, like it was speculated that he might be moved, you know, there's a potential for that to happen with Josh Richardson as well. So those are the trades, and that's a little profile on the three new Celtics. And, you know, before we get to Jay and Mike's post-draft pod in a second, just some misc points very quickly. So longtime Celtics assistant coach Jay Larinaga is heading to the Clippers, following the same path as Doc Rivers, I suppose. I don't know. Obviously, Doc Rivers is not there anymore, but yeah, for a while, it's appeared that Jay was not going to be a part of Ime Udoka's coaching staff. I don't know. I hesitate to ask, but have you got any favorite Jay Larinaga memories, guys?
Just that dude had such a unique face.
Oh,
like,
man.
Like, every time I cut to the bench, just something about just, like, the lines and the gravity of his head. Just I was always just, like, looking at him before anyone else. Yeah. That's what I've got about Jay Larinaga. I didn't know that. You just broke that to me.
Fair enough. Live reaction here from Jackson.
Yeah, no, fair enough, man. But, yeah, I guess Ime Udoka, you got to get your own guys in, right? And, like, as good as Larinaga was to look at. He's probably going to get one of his guys in.
Yeah.
I like the user comment, user Gaga Gabba, goodbye crazy eyes.
Yeah. Yes. He does and look then, like he's like 6 hours into a rave, like a London rave.
And of course, that's the guy that connected with Smart for some reason.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I can
and
see
Taco
it.
Fall, apparently. Yeah.
In Ange We Trust also posted a comment, dang, I guess the Clippers really did acquire Boston in a trade.
A couple of other missed points here. So Mark Murphy tweeted that he's hearing that the Celtics have a list of, quote, 7 or 8 free agent targets, including Spurs point guard Patty Mills. Discussions between the team and Evan Fournier are ongoing, but not close to a resolution. It's just exciting, I think, that like we've made some moves. Clearly, we're in the hunt. Clearly, there's more moves to be made. A couple more points very quickly. The Celtics signed Sam Hauser to a two-way deal. He's a 6'8 wing, kind of a stretch four, almost shot a 50-40-90 in his last college season with Virginia, and just under 42% from three. I had never heard of this guy before. I'm not going to pretend that I'm like some sort of Virginia college aficionado, but you know, he sort of fits an archetype that the Celtics need, perhaps if they fall short on, you know, like a Larry Nance or a stretch four, this guy can maybe step into the Celtics squad and hit a couple of Tatum Brown, you know, kick out open threes. Jason, had you heard of this guy before? And any thoughts on his joining the Celtics? Shaking his
never
head.
Heard of this guy. Never heard of this guy before. I put a comment in the thread that had, you know, that was opened up for him, and I just put Heron Goaty 2.0. But then I'm pretty sure I got downvoted to hell for it. Not even to hell. I think I got like 2 downvotes because I don't have as much gravity as Jay Larinaga's head. So the comment didn't get that much attention. But there were some people, at least one person commented, they were quite offended with that comparison, which I mean, I thought it was pretty solid. Like Heron Goaty, I had a good memory for that guy. He had a couple of threes.
Love Luke Herangode. Yeah. He had some mad hustle. KG respected him. It was great.
Right? You'd be doing a lot worse for comps.
yeah, that's right. Anything else, guys? Any other misc points you want to introduce before we wrap this segment up?
Not a Celtics thing, but just dead quick. What do you think of Westbrook to Lakers? You're going to make some better or worse?
I forecast a mid-season disaster, whether it be injury-related or personality clash-related. I can't tell if it's like, this is just what I naturally gravitate towards in terms of bias as a Celtics fan, or if logically that is likely to be the case. But I know some Lakers fans, and they all feel uneasy about it. What do you think, Jason?
So I know that this is something that Mike and I definitely, it happened, that trade went down like right during the draft time. So I know that we talked a little about it in the next segment that we're going to be putting up. And so I'll save my thoughts to get shared there, because I definitely, I had some fun reacting to that one. So
I look forward to listening
to
it.
Nice. Likewise. Yeah. To me, it reeks of like last roll of the dice. Hey. Like, this is LeBron's fucking last chance saloon. This is the guy we got. You know, probably wanted Chris Paul. Didn't happen. I was like, all right, shit. Yeah. All right. We need a third amigo to just make a push. And if it doesn't go this year, then I think it's done. I think that's the end of LeBron.
The death rattles of LeBron James's career.
I think so. Yeah, I think he's got too focused on his Hollywood career now. After the masterpiece that was Space Jam 2, by the way.
Have you guys seen that?
Yeah.
Yes. Depending on how the season goes, we may have a whole podcast just on Space Jam 2 if things do quieten down and allow us some time to do that. In the meantime, for the Celtics, look, we've got the $9 million trade exception created by the Thompson trade. We have a $5 million trade exception from the Tice trade. We still have $6.9 million trade exception from the Kemba Walker trade. Trade exceptions all around, plenty of flexibility, like we hinted at the top there. There are sign and trade possibilities with Fournier as well if we decide we can't afford him. And the Dunn and Richardson contracts are highly tradable as well. So stay tuned. There's surely going to be plenty of action between now and the beginning of the season. Jackson, Jay, thanks again, guys. Love your work. In the meantime, let's head over to Jason and Mike's post-draft show.
How's it going, Jay? It's an interesting draft night. I'm glad we're here to break it down a little bit. We had a lot of highlights, mostly perk-related, if I'm being honest.
Listen, Ben wanted fireworks. We got fireworks galore. Nothing to do with the Celtics, but we got fireworks. We got the news and takes with no commercial breaks. So, with no more delay, all right, let's get into this a little bit. First and foremost, Spoons, I need your feedback. What do you think about this ESPN presentation? Draft night in relationship to previous drafts, like, how does it seem to be going right now?
So there's a fine line between terrible and so bad it's good. Ooh. And ESPN flirted very close to that line all night, and I think at times it was so bad it was actually good. I mean, Perk was out here talking about his marriage with Woj. No idea what he means. No idea what he talks about.
He was giving them those eyes.
He really was. Yeah, Perk wanted a piece. He likes.
Drop one of those Woj bombs from me, man.
Yeah, he's got a daddy complex or something. Oh, no. But
he made an earlier comment. He called the Sacramento Kings the can't get right Kings. The Sacramento can't get right Kings.
I mean, Perk has a way with words at times. It's not always pretty, but I mean, he nailed it there. I mean, the Kings are just constantly getting in their own way.
Perk has been a highlight. His battling with Richard Jefferson tonight. Are we keeping score right now on those two going back and forth? So Perk had the stroke on live TV and couldn't get Moses Moody name out. It sounded like he was just a broken record for a second. They had to hit the reset button on Perk, right? Like, they had to reboot, dude. Like, they shut him down, reboot him, give him another go. And Richard dug into him.
I thought my YouTube stream was, like, skipping or something. But I think it's RJ, you know, 100-1, maybe. I mean, he really roasted Perk there. And Billis had to, like, come in and step in for Perk. Like, come on, man. You gotta have some pride here, Perk.
Rachel Nichols is dying on TV right now. She's like, I lost the finals for this.
I know.
Now, she's like, now I'm standing between Perk and RJ just trying to keep this thing somewhat respectable as far as like sports reporting goes. And it's just not happening. Like,
no,
not
absolutely not. I mean, I can't even remember a take they had. It was just pure chaos the entire night.
So Jay Bayless, for the whole night, just looked like, it looked like for the first 15 minutes, dude was in it, in his game. Like, that dude is, he is consistency to the core. He's been doing this for a minute, and he's watched dudes rotate in and out of that lineup, presenting the draft, and he's always just been on point. And tonight, you could see it on his face. Like, he's like, I'm over this. Like, I'm done.
By the time,
Perk,
like,
say whatever you want.
By the time Jalen Suggs got picked, Billis was like, and I'm checking out of here. I'll drop
done.
Some fake laugh, maybe say wingspan a few times.
That's
and
right.
I'm just trying to get through this night.
Let me just get through the. I'm going to be shocked if that dude's back next year. Unless they retool that and put some people next to him that can actually hold down the broadcast. Like, I'd be shocked if that dude comes back. I would be livid right now.
He's going to have a one-man protest outside of the where they had the draft next year. I'm not doing this again.
All right. So, you know, we rip a little bit on ESPN, but nonetheless, we're still watching the damn thing, right? So they're
always
getting their ad revenue through us.
Every
so the
minute.
The joke's really on us. And we're humble enough to recognize that. But, we're taking one for the Celtics community in this case. Especially me. I'm not even streaming. I'm watching this stuff straight off, you know, the hotel cable. So I'm contributing to all that ad revenue directly. But let's take a second and break into some of these fireworks, you know, on behalf of Ben, right? We're not joined today by Ben as we normally would be. We're doing a late night podcast. I'm over here in, where the hell am I now? I'm in Evanston, Illinois. All right. I'm having trouble keeping track where I am lately. Last week was over in San Antonio. So I think right now you're an hour ahead of me.
I am indeed.
Yep. So thank you much for hanging out late with us. But on behalf of Ben and in the spirit of honoring his desire to have some fireworks, let's talk about some of the things that went down that caught our eye and our attention. I mean, we've got, what, a new big three that just developed in the other LA team?
Yeah, I think it depends on your definition of big. Because Westbrook, I think, is a divisive player. I think in the right context, he's a wonderful player and he can be unstoppable at times. I do not think this is going to be the right context for him. I mean, you need to give the ball to Westbrook, spread the floor, and let him kill people. That's not going to happen with LeBron. I mean, that's what LeBron does, and he's better at it than Westbrook. So what are you going to have? Westbrook space out to the corner? I mean, he's useless doing that. He could kill bench units for 10 minutes a game, but I actually think this lowers their ceiling in the playoffs. I think they'll win a lot more regular season games, but I think they're easier to match up with when, you know, it's crunch time, game 7 in the second or third round of the playoffs.
All right, so I'm going to come at you with the counterpoint, and for one reason and one reason only, and it's that if nothing else, I would like nothing more than for the Lakers to make it back to the finals so that our overachieving Celtics can smash that ass. All right.
I love that reality.
So here's the alternative take on this particular trade. LeBron, 36 years old, and is at a point where he legitimately needs to load manage, most especially because of the nature of his game, right? As a physical cat, you know, even at his age now, you know, he hasn't really slowed down. This dude still runs and guns with the best of them, the youngest of them in the league. But that body's breaking down a little bit, right? So you bring in a guy like Westbrook to balance with AD. You know, all three of these guys are probably throughout the regular season going to have to load manage a little bit, similar to what we've seen over in Brooklyn. Now, ultimately, right, it's going to come down to playoff health. As with Brooklyn, that did not work out. And so that was disappointing for Brooklyn and reassuring for a lot of fans across the league that were frustrated about how that team got put together. But so I'm looking at this from the perspective of, if this works, that is great news, because all that means is it's an opportunity for Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Marcus Smart to stomp that LA ass. Homegrown star talent tearing it up. I'm about that life.
I love the picture you just painted, man. I absolutely love it. Like I said, I think it definitely can work. I'm just not, it's far from a guarantee in my opinion. Like, I could see LeBron getting really frustrated, dropping some goofy ass Instagram posts about fitting out and fitting in. And you know, Russ won't put up with that. You know, he's not Kevin Love. Like, he's they might fight on the court. I don't know. There's 100-to-1 odds that they might, they drop, you know, they throw hands on the court.
The word's already coming out that the organization itself was divided on the move to begin with, right? So it was perfect. Like they were torn between Russell Westbrook and Buddy Hield, right? And so one can only hope that it was LeBron that wanted Buddy Hield.
I pray, man.
I want Westbrook to step into a reality where the lead player on the team he just got traded to preferred Buddy Hield instead of the prospect of playing with him.
And you know Russ would take that personally. Yeah.
Well, at this point, how would he not, right?
Right.
Everywhere Westbrook goes, star players want him gone. Like, they don't even want to leave him. They want him gone.
Yeah.
Like, they'll stay where they're at as long as he's gone. They'll try it with someone different. Listen, ultimately, Bradley Beal chose Kyle Kuzma.
And KCP.
Instead of Russell Westbrook. So really, that's what this comes down to. It wasn't until they were able to give Bradley Beal the news that they were bringing in Kyle Kuzma to replace Russell Westbrook that Bradley Beal said, you know what, I'll stick around. I'll give this a go.
I mean, if that doesn't tell you the state of where Westbrook's at and what playing with him is like, I don't know what does. But different angle real quick, and then I think we should talk a little bit about the draft. What a great, like, series of transactions for Washington, though. I mean, they traded John Wall for Russell Westbrook and turned him into Kuzma, who's a solid, young, you know, piece. KCP, an expiring contract, and a first-round pick. I mean, you go from John Wall, an untradeable albatross, to positive assets. That's pretty damn good for Washington, who is not known for making damn good moves at all.
And on the other end of that, you've also got, I think, the Rockets kind of putting on a clinic for how do you rebuild with youth. I mean, it's hard to imagine a world where all of those rookies sort of, you know, perform at really high levels, but they seem to make pretty solid picks. I like the Jalen Green pick. I think that dude seems like a player.
Me too.
So I think that gives them a lot of talent to work with. It really looked like they had some bare cupboards, and it really looks like they got some reason to be optimistic.
I totally agree. I think they did well.
Speaking of reasons to be optimistic, the Celtics have really found a way to solve all of their problems in this draft. And we thought that losing that number 16 pick was going to be kind of a heartbreaker as far as getting excited about what kinds of talent we can bring in via the draft. And lo and behold, Brad Stevens, in just the most glorious of moves, makes the really, I think, it's going to end up being underappreciated. Let's but it's going to go down as legendary. Bringing on, I'm gonna get this right, Jaron Bergeron from the French Suburban Rec League.
Yeah, and the Paris pickup league. It's like the Drew League, but French.
Listen, we poke fun, dude. From the highlights and the shaky cams from somebody in the audience that they were able to
iPhone
patch into the feed for ESPN. He looked solid. What was the feedback they gave on him? I forget. What
physical tools.
He's got physical tools.
That's it.
So, I mean,
the man has arms and legs. We know that much.
What more could you ask for? You know,
he's not got much.
I almost made a terrible Gerald Green joke, and I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there because Gerald Green was a baller. You know,
he was a beast, even with his half a finger.
Even with I'm not sure this guy's going to play, right? This seems like either a draft and stash kind of guy or just a guy that ends up like Ben Pepper and we never hear or see from him ever again. I mean, I don't know how many people even remember Ben Pepper, but I was really excited about that too.
I remember Ben Bentle.
There. All right. That was
another
that was
guy who never played.
That's right.
Yeah, but I'm with you.
What do you think? So considering the fact I was looking at guys like Greg Brown or Charles Bassey, guys that could fit into that 4-5 realm or position and offer something unique. Greg Brown, I like the prospect of that athleticism at the 4. Bassey, probably more of a natural 5 than a 4, but had a little bit more touch, had some nice passing from what we saw in the highlights and a lot of the feedback that was coming out about him. But ultimately, Greg Brown went, I think, the pick or two ahead of us. So, you know, not sure if that was even someone on our radar for that pick. Bassey doesn't seem to be on anyone's radar unless he's gotten picked up since. Anyone that you were kind of disappointed we didn't take a swing on?
That was available. I don't know. At that point, I think Sharif Cooper is probably worth the risk. I mean, his jump shot is absolutely completely broken. But that dude is dynamic as hell with the ball in his hands, and he has vision. He could pass. I mean, everyone wants us to get Rubio. Well, Sharif Cooper's, I mean, I don't want to say he's as good as Ricky Rubio, but he projects to be that same type of player. So at 45, I wouldn't hate that type of risk, even though I do not like point guards who can't shoot. But, you know, at 45, we know he can, has two near elite skills for a prospect, so I wouldn't have hated that.
Here's what I want to know about Sharif Cooper, though. Does he have any physical tools?
I mean, you gotta find the guys with the physical tools, otherwise what's the point? Skill entirely secondary. You gotta optional. Have physical tools. Yeah, physical optional tools. Yeah.
So, yeah, ultimately, I mean, I remember you had shared some thoughts before we jumped onto the pod about a couple of folks that were on your mind that had been falling. But then they actually, just as you named them when we were talking about it, they went boom, 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 one right after one after another. Who are those folks that you were identifying then?
Not only did they go one after another, they went in the exact order that I named them. Although I can't remember one of them, but
there's McBride.
Deuce McBride.
Yep.
Dosunmu was the last one, and now I'm blanking on who the other one is.
Oh no.
Oh, JT Thor.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, you gotta like him for the name, if nothing else.
Exactly. Listen, you know, and he's got great physical tools.
I would imagine so. So at one point in my life, I was doing some commercial fishing and I worked with a gentleman named Thor, and he also had like good physical tools. So
great wingspan.
Great wingspan. Good. All right. So all joking aside, you know, the draft leaves a bit to be desired as far as excitement and genuine Celtics related fireworks. But how are you feeling after this draft? With any news that's come out over the last 24 to 48 hours and kind of looking ahead towards summer league and preseason and impending free agency.
Yeah. What I will say, the one thing I think our pick of Bert Bagarin means is that we are really, my guess is he's a stash, and that means we're really conscious of our books going into free agency, which to me means we're almost certainly bringing back Evan Fournier, which I am fully on board for. I think he's a wonderful fit next to the Jays. I think
he's balling out right now.
And he's absolutely crushing it in the Olympics. And I think he's a great fit with Smart, because Smart can kind of cover some of his weaknesses. And he's such an elite shooter that he just really will space the floor for Marcus to run pick and roll. And then you've got, you know, the Jays. So I think he's a great fit, even though, you know, defensively leaves a lot to be desired. So that's the one sort of positive I'm choosing to take from the fact that we went with this unknown prospect that's going to be a drafted stash.
One of the things that came out, I saw this posted on the sub just a little bit ago, some reports coming out that Boston is indeed interested in Lonzo Ball. Now, most of the last several months have been spent discussing every reason why this is not even impossible. So who in their right mind is putting out a tweet blasting the Celtics as interested in Lonzo Ball like this is the thing that's happening? Now, we don't have to get into the contract aspect of it, because I'm sure not necessarily super savvy to all the contract stuff. And And in general, if we're going to dive into that kind of thing, you know, we should probably take a closer look at the cap and how that all navigates. But I've settled in on Marcus Smart as our starting point guard. I think if you make the move for Lonzo Ball, you're clearly not committed to that. So I would have to imagine that if they're interested in Lonzo Ball, they're entertaining the idea of parting ways with Marcus Smart. Do you see that the same way? And how would you feel about it?
So I have mixed feelings on Lonzo. One thing I will say, one very strong feeling I have about him is that I do not think he's a primary ball handler. And I think Smart is more fit for that role than Lonzo. I see him as like a two guard, really. He's a weird two guard, but I mean, his best skills are passing and shooting. He can't really break down a defense. I mean, he can sort of run a pick and roll, but not in the way that a primary ball handler can. I would actually be kind of interested to see what like a Smart Lonzo backcourt would look like. I mean, that would be suffocating on defense. Jay, let me ask you, if this does indicate that we're moving on from Smart, as one of, I think, the biggest Smart supporters that I'm aware of, how does that make you feel?
Listen, if Smart goes, my daughter and I go too.
Buy that Pelicans jersey.
Oh, man. It would be a really... So the only thing I feel like I'd be able to liken it to, and it's not appropriate at all, is the way that I felt when we traded Al Jefferson. I remember that moment. I remember getting that news and just had, like, I understood who Kevin Garnett was. I understood everything that he was. And I could understand what the Celtics were doing at that time and what the expectation was. It was championship time. But like my heart, as someone that just watched Al Jefferson come onto this team, grow into the player that he was become, you know, and just and start just kicking ass, right?
Yep.
And just dominating in the paint in that classic big bruising man, nice, you know, that clever footwork, always finding the blue sky, as Tommy used to say. And, you know, watching him end up having to leave in that package, it was a bittersweet symphony, if you will. Shout out to the verb. But ultimately, it was for the best. Now, all of that being said, Lonzo Ball is not Kevin Garnett.
No,
and
not even
not
close.
Offer anything even resembling what Kevin Garnett brought as far as championship aspiration and quality level performance. So I would not see that in the immediate as a huge win or a score for the Celtics. I do not. I agree with you in the sense that I don't think Lonzo Ball is a better point guard, let alone a better point guard for these Celtics than Marcus Smart is or could be. I do think Lonzo Ball is an NBA point guard. I think he's got to figure his stuff out. I think he's one of those guys that's probably towards the tail end of his prime and going into his early sort of like back nine of his career, he's probably going to be dynamite. You know, he's got like he's just got that right kind of physicality and athleticism that doesn't seem like it's going to taper off too aggressively as he ages. He does have a shot that's continuing to improve, and he's only going to get more clever with how he navigates offenses. The best thing that he can do is find himself a good situation with a solid coaching team around him, a winning environment. But I don't want it to be Boston. I don't want it to be Boston, but ultimately I can talk all the shit I want. But if they did negotiate some kind of deal where Smart was out and Lonzo Ball was in, I would find a way.
Cause I talked myself into it.
I just don't know any other way. Spoons, I don't know any other way. I'm sick. I have a problem.
I'm the same way.
But I don't want any medicine for it.
No, absolutely not. I just want Summer League. That's the only medicine
Listen,
I want.
That right now has got me hyped. I'm a little disappointed with Team USA. I'm a little disappointed to see our boy Tatum, not even boy Tatum, our man Tatum, right? Grown superstar that he is. Not necessarily, you know, killing it the way that I hoped or anticipated, but we got Summer League to look forward to. And that roster for Summer League, like on Summer League terms, That's going to be lit. That's
going to be legit. Yeah.
That's going to be prime time summer
league. It's like
our bench.
It's like our old bench.
That's our depth right there.
Yeah.
So it'll be exciting to see some of these guys come out and show out and see what we've got on the horizon. Most especially Romeo Langford, Naismith, Pritchard. See how those guys are vibing. Yeah. Would really love to see some chemistry there. And listen, I love me a side of yams. Give me yams all day.
I'm geeked for yam. We could talk about it more as we get a little bit closer to summer league, but I am all in on the yam train.
He's teamed up with Combat Muscles Ogilvy's trainer. Like,
what
this
more could you want?
He's gonna be a monster.
That's right.
League is wrecked.
League MVP? I don't know. Maybe too soon, but that's his floor.
So listen, we're gonna keep it short tonight. You know, again, not a lot of news or a lot of fireworks necessarily on the Celtics part, but some pretty outrageously absurd reality level television coming from ESPN this evening as far as draft coverage. I want to throw one more shout out because, you know, we're really familiar with getting the Woj bombs during these types of events. But on this particular evening, we got the Adam bomb from our commissioner announcing the trade. The whole stadium goes quiet. Like, what the hell are you even? And he's like, listen, I'm just reading it.
Just reading the card, man.
Just reading it. Like, I don't know what it's talking about. Like, that was brilliant. Like,
yeah, I loved it.
That dude has got at least a little bit of really good comedic timing. And every time I start to not have a whole lot of like positive vibes about him as a commissioner, he'll do something, whether it's like, you know, socially related, or then, you know, just having good comedic time around. Like, all right, like, you're not the old guard. Like,
right. You're not.
You got me. Yeah, you got me. Yeah. So I thought he stole the show, most especially with that line. It reminded me of being in a high school production, forgetting my line on stage after I fell off a wooden horse in a production of Alice in Wonderland and looked at the audience and just shrugged, said, ouch. As a question. And then as the whole crowd starts laughing, they shouted my line out to me and we finished the show.
The show must go on, as they say, Jay.
You know? So, you know, I'm just bringing all this up to point out that me and Adam Silver have a lot in common. And I think clearly. He and I should sit down and have some coffee and talk about it. All right.
I'm sure you'd enjoy that.
All right, Wayne Spoonie, thank you so much for joining me tonight. Loving your work, loving you being on the pod. Hoping to have you back real soon, and look forward to talking more, especially with regards to Summer League coming up. So stay at the ready, my friend.
All right, thanks, man. It was thanks for having me. It was a good time.
All right, that's going to do it for this one. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Mike and Jay for putting together the post-draft show. That's our US-based office now operating independently. Very exciting for us. We'll be back with another pod in the next few days. Until then, go Celtics. Peace.